Excited about this passage of scripture, and I was fully intent. I'm telling you, church family, I was fully intent on starting a Christmas series and preaching the next couple of weeks about Christmas. And then I was reading in Romans at the beginning of this week in preparation. Actually, I started reading right after church last Sunday. I started reading and preparing and studying for this week's message, and I was like, hey, this actually ties in perfectly to Christmas and the reason why we needed Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 5. And those of you joining us, take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter number 5. And I love this passage of Scripture. I had to memorize a good chunk of this whenever I took a New Testament class when I was at Bible college, and had to memorize a chunk of this passage of Scripture. And I love the way that this passage starts out, because we talked about how Abraham was justified by faith. Last week we saw that in Romans chapter 4, how people were saved by putting their faith and trust in Christ. That's the way it's been for, you know, ever since this world began. And we talked about how for Abraham, even though he was before Christ, he was putting in his faith and trust in what Christ was going to do, what God had promised to happen, that they would send a Messiah, that he would send a Redeemer that would save the people from their sins. We as Christians today, we look back on what Jesus had already done, and that's what we put our faith and trust in, something that happened already. But for those in the Old Testament, they were putting their faith and trust in something that hadn't happened yet. But still, the person in who their faith was didn't change. It's always been Jesus. And it's always been Christ alone. I'm not putting my faith in myself and Jesus to get to heaven. I'm not putting my faith and trust in the good things that I can accomplish. All my hope, all my faith is in Christ and Christ alone. He alone is the reason why I can be saved. I can have salvation. It's his righteousness, not mine, that I'm trusting. And remember, when Jesus saves us, we saw that from Romans chapter 4 last week, that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he places his righteousness on us. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sinfulness or our feeble attempts at righteousness. He looks and he sees the righteousness of his Son. And in God's eyes, we are clean, we are made holy and righteous through his Son. So chapter number 5, verse number 1, starts off by saying, therefore, because all these things in chapter number 4 were true, that we have righteousness by faith through Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, look at this, I love this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other passages of Scripture, it's referenced that we were enemies of God before we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because our will and our desires and God's will and desires were always in conflict. Okay? And so the Bible says, because of our sinfulness, it wasn't that God doesn't love us, that God was hateful towards us, but because of our sinfulness, the Bible describes us as being at war with God. But because of Jesus Christ and through faith and trust in him, the Bible says that through Jesus, we have now peace with God. We are no longer enemies with God. Through salvation, through faith in Christ, we now have peace with God. And not just that. Look at what verse number 2 says. It says, by whom also, through Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Think about that, folks. We have access to the Almighty. When you have troubles, you know, as much as I appreciate going to family members and talking with family members and getting advice from them and appreciate them, when I have something that nobody else can do anything about, when I have mounting stress in my life, when I have trials and difficulties, I can go straight to God. I can go straight to God and say, God, I'm in a hard way right now. God, times are tough. God, it feels like life is just pouring on top of me. God, I need help. Lord, help, deliver me. God, cause these troubles to cease. And God can take all those trials and tribulations, and the Bible says make them to end quickly. And even those difficulties that we go through, that God allows us to go through, it says that He will give us the strength we need to be able to endure those temptations and those trials. You see, we have access to the greatest source of power and strength ever. You know, I think a lot of times people, the reason why they have such a difficulty in life is because they don't have anything or anyone to lean upon. You know, it seems like life is just kind of pushing everybody here and there, and they have no stability in their life. But we don't have to worry about that as believers. As people of faith, as those of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we have a solid, firm foundation, the Bible says. In fact, Jesus made the comparison to the person, the wise man who has built his house upon the rock. And he was talking about a person who's put their faith and trust in Christ and has built their life on the solid rock of Christ. He said, when the storms come and the winds blow, that house stands firm. Why? Because it's on a solid foundation. But he said, for the foolish man who has built his life on the sand, built his life that is on something that's shaky and not solid, it says, when the winds come and the storms blow, that house is knocked down. I know we used to sing that song whenever I was a little kid. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. And that was the favorite song of mine to sing, because, you know, all the boys wanted to do that at the end, splat, you know. But it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized the spiritual significance of that incredibly simplistic child song. You know, I'm thankful that I am founded on the grace of God. My hope is in Him. And because of the salvation that I have through Christ, I have access to God anytime, anywhere I want it. I can be driving on the road and I can be praying and talking to God. And you know what? God will speak to me at random times too. I mean, I was, I could be, sitting on the couch and God could speak to my heart. I could be driving to work and God could speak to my heart. I was listening to a song on my way to work and was going through my iTunes music and listened to a gospel song. And I was tearing up before I even got to work because the Lord was speaking to my heart about the wonderful truth in the song. And so we have access to God and we have standing. We have a solid foundation to stand upon. And because of that, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And he said, and not only so, verse number 3, but we glory. Look at this. This is crazy to me sometimes to think about. We glory in tribulations also. How many of you are just, when you're going through a difficult time in your life, you're like, thank you, God, for this difficult time in my life. God, this is awesome. Like, I'm living, I'm having to trust you day by day. I don't know where my next meal is going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to pay this unexpected hospital bill. But this is awesome, God. I don't really think that that's how we normally react to stuff like that, is it? At least not me. You know, when I'm going through times of difficulty, I'm like, Lord, what did I do wrong? Lord, is there sin in my life? Is there something in my life that ought not to be there? Like, God, what's going on? Why are you allowing all these trials and difficulties to come into my life? But because we have hope in Jesus Christ, and not just in this life, our hope is in the Lord. Our salvation is not resting on us. Our salvation was already accomplished by Jesus Christ. It says that we can glory in trials. We can glory in difficulties. Why? Because we know that this tribulation, we know that trials work patience. And then it says, and patience brings experience. Experience, verse number 4, brings hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, the times of difficulty that we have in life are for a purpose. So that way God can prove himself mighty in our life. So that way God can shed abroad his love in our life. You know, I think if we looked at our trials and difficulties that we go through in that life and look at it through that perspective, I think maybe we could glory in times of difficulty. Because we know, God, you're going to use this time of difficulty to do something great. You know, I look at what our church has gone through over the last couple of months. I think of what Christianity as a whole in our nation and our world has gone through. I saw on Twitter last night that the state of California put a cease and desist order on a church in San Diego County and said, you're not allowed to meet anymore. You're not allowed to worship, even though they were following all the guidelines. They were practicing safe distancing. Their church members were wearing masks and everything, but they had a cease and desist order. And I'm like, man, thankfully, by the grace of God, we haven't had that happen. But churches and we as Christians can appreciate this time, because I believe it has caused me personally, through this time of difficulty, it has caused me to have more appreciation for my church and my church family. I understand why we've had to do it, but whenever we had to do a live stream only, oh man, it broke my heart. Because I love seeing y'all. Well, at least your eyes and your forehead, you know, because everybody's wearing a mask. But I love seeing y'all. I love getting to interact with you. I can tell you're smiling, you know, even though your faces are covered. You know, you can tell by the eyes sometimes when somebody's smiling, you know. You can just see it in their faces. And, you know, I've missed that. But I think through this time of difficulty, God is still teaching us. And God can grow our faith even in times of trial. And ultimately, this time has proven how faithful God is even to our little small church family. God has provided for us. God provided us an outdoor place to meet. God provided us this indoor place to meet for the time being. God is already preparing for our future as well. And looking like the possibility of us being able to build our own building and to have our own land. And by the way, it's all of God. God working on different people's hearts. God working on our hearts. And I'm telling you, through this difficulty, God can make us come out even better. You know, whenever I was reading this passage of Scripture and looking at having faith during times of difficulty and realizing that we can glory in our tribulations, it made me think of Job. When you're going through times of difficulty, sometimes it helps, and I know this sounds bad, but sometimes it helps to look at other people that are going through worse times, and you kind of say to yourself, well, at least I don't have it as bad as so-and-so. And maybe that's not the best thing to do, but naturally we do it. So when I go through times of difficulty, I'm like, man, at least it's not like Job. Job lost everything. He lost all of his possessions. He was one of the wealthiest men that lived in his time, and he lost everything. And not only that, when he was like, well, at least I still have my family and my wife, his all of his children were killed. And his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Talk about encouragement from your spouse right there, right? You know, usually I go to my wife and she's like, honey, it's going to be okay. Or I tell her, honey, it's going to be okay. You know, I'm just thankful. I've never had that happen where I go to her and I'm like, honey, you know, things are just horrible at work. You know, it's just terrible. It's stressful. It's okay, honey. Just curse God and die. You know, thankfully she hasn't done that. But we can glory in our tribulations. We can be thankful in times of trouble. Why? Because God is in control. And we have access to God. We have a sure standing and a firm foundation. It doesn't matter how hard the winds of life blow. We are set. We are solid on Christ. Look at this. If that wasn't enough, the hope that we have, not in this life, but the hope of heaven we have that's guaranteed to us should cause us to rejoice too. Look at what verse number 6 says. It says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died, look at this, for the ungodly. Now you might be saying, well, Pastor, I don't know who that's talking about. I don't know who the ungodly that it's talking about is. You know who it's talking about? It's talking about me. It's talking about you. It's talking about us. Before we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we were the ungodly. And when we had no hope of saving ourselves, when we had no hope of salvation, it says that Christ died for us, the ungodly. Now, why would somebody do that? Why would somebody die for a stranger that was unworthy of that kind of love and of that kind of sacrifice? Look at what it says here. It says, verse number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to want to give your life for somebody, even if they were a righteous person. You'd be like, well, I'm going to die so that way somebody else could live. I mean, we're creatures that that, you know, of survival. We do whatever we can. We have that survival instinct. We're going to do whatever we can to survive. And to lay one's life down for somebody else is an ultimate form of love and sacrifice. But even Paul's being realistic here. For even a righteous person, it'd be rare for somebody else to give their life to save them. But then he says, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. It would be rare to find somebody that would even sacrifice themselves for the most righteous and holiest of people. You know, if one of my children, God forbid, but if one of my children needed a transplant, and I was the only one that could do that, but it would mean me dying so that way they could live, I think any parent without hesitation would make that choice. We would give our life for our children. How about for a stranger? How many of us would do that for a stranger? I don't think many of us would want to make that kind of sacrifice for somebody else that we don't even know, that's not even close to us, that we have no clue, no idea who they are. Look at the love that God displayed towards us. Look at verse number 8. It says, but God, and I love this, we were the ungodly. We were the sinful ones. And it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, even though we were still in our sin, God gave us his love. And look at the end of verse number 8. It says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. He says, you might not know me, but I sure know you, and I love you. And I love you so much that I'm going to lay down my life and sacrifice my life so that way you can have access to God. That way you can have access to grace. That way you can be saved. He says this, much more than being now justified by his blood, not by our good deeds, it's through his shed blood on the cross for us, that we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It says, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled. That word reconciled means to be brought back to. You see, sin separates us from God. It does. Sin separates us from God. But it says that when we were the enemies of God, God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to make peace with us so that way we could be reconciled. That broken relationship could be made whole. That sin that once divided us and separated us from God could be forgiven. So that way now there's nothing standing in the way of us having complete access to God, to his grace, and to salvation. And it says, and I love this, it says, we are reconciled to God by the death of his son. Jesus had to die. It couldn't be any other way. But he didn't stay dead. Look at what it says. It says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It wasn't just enough that Jesus died. Because any person could die for somebody else, sacrifice and give their life for somebody else. But it says, much more, we're saved also by his life. It took Jesus rising triumphantly and victoriously over death and sin in the grave to show that he was indeed God. He was the Messiah that was promised to take away the sins of the world. And without his death and without his resurrection, we couldn't be alive after death either. You know, think about that. Think about that. When we close our eyes in death, that's not it. That's not it. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, it's hard to say goodbye to our loved ones, to our family members, and unfortunately, people all across the country couldn't even have the opportunity to say goodbye to their friends and family, to their mom, dad, grandparents. But I know when I say goodbye, if I get that opportunity to say goodbye to my family before I pass, it's not goodbye forever, it's see you soon. Because through Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice and by my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did, I have hope beyond this life. I have salvation because Jesus is alive. And Paul says it's not just to be saved and to have life beyond this life, to have eternal life. He says, and not only so, verse number 11, but it says, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Because we're saved, we can have joy in this life too. Now, that's not the end all, okay? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying to just live it up and to have joy in this life, because that's the only thing. Paul even said, if we have hope in this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in life beyond the grave. But we can also have joy in this life because we have that assurance. We have that hope of heaven when we die. So we know that the trials and the difficulties that we go through are only temporary. They're not going to last forever. Heaven is our home. We can still be joyful even through times of trial and tribulation. And look at this. This is why I love that we sang that song this morning, talking about with the Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And now my clicker doesn't want to work this morning, but if you were to go back in that song, says, second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And you might be like, Pastor, what does this have to do with the passage of Scripture? Verse number 12 of Romans chapter 5 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam and Eve together brought sin into the world. They brought death. They brought destruction. Before this, Adam and Eve lived at peace with God. I mean, paradise. Could you imagine being in the Garden of Eden? You know, experiencing that paradise, that joy. But because of one person's sinfulness, it says that sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But it says that when Jesus came, it says, as by one man sin entered in the world, it says, for by one man's death, or one man's offense, verse number 17 says, death reigned by one. But it says, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So one person was responsible for bringing death and sin into the world. But that second Adam, that person, Jesus Christ, was responsible for bringing us salvation and reinstating us, reconciling us to God, restoring that relationship, making those of us that were enemies of God to have peace with God now. So because of that, ladies and gentlemen, Christians, we can have joy in this life. We can have thanksgiving. We can be can glory in our tribulations and times of difficulties. Why? Because we are justified by the blood of Christ, and we have hope that goes beyond this life. So because of Jesus, yes, we have life after death. Yes, that's wonderful. We have heaven as our home for those of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. But not only that, but we can have hope and we can have joy in the difficulties that we go through every single day. Why? Because we're saved. We were enemies of God, but not anymore. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that broken relationship is restored. We're no longer enemies of God. We are now at peace with Him. Think about that. The people that are driving by on Pelicano this morning, the people that you're going to see when you go to grab takeout from Taco Bell or wherever you go for lunch today. I don't know where you're going to go for lunch, but when you go to the when you go to get that food and go home, or when you're at the grocery store today and you're walking by and you see all of those people in the store, you see all those people driving by, that driver that cuts you off and you want to yell at him, and you know, but all those people, every single one of those people, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're enemies with God because of their sin today. And the awesome thing is that we have the truth that can not just save them and forgive them, but give them an opportunity to make peace with God as well. To give up their sinfulness and their life of sin and accept the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ so freely offers unto them. Think about that. We were at war. We were holding on to our sin, and we were firmly entrenched in our sin. And we were constantly fighting against God's will and God's way in our life. But now, we have made peace through Jesus Christ with God. We're no longer enemies, but you know what's awesome? The Bible says that we can now become, through Jesus Christ, the children of God. It says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Through Jesus Christ, we don't have to keep our weapons up and our defenses up. When we come to Christ, we lay down our arms and say, God, we're tired of fighting you. God, we don't want to be your enemy anymore. God, we want to have salvation. We want to have eternal life. God, we're surrendering to you. And I think that it would be good of us Christians. You might already know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You already put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, don't allow sin to rule and reign in your life. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the power and control of sin over our hearts is gone. But still, we make a choice to give in. When we give in to sinful desires and temptations every day, it's like we're putting ourselves back under sin's control in our life. And we're saying, you know what? I just like that too much. I just gotta give in to that temptation. But when we allow sin into our life, it's like we're saying, God, you're not enough for us. Because I need something else to make me happy. I need something else to bring me joy. But you know what? God is more than enough. Lay down your weapons. Don't be at war with God. His way is so much better to follow than your own way. It says the end results of our sin is death. We saw that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. I'd much rather keep my direct access to God. I'd rather, you know, if that means asking God every single day, God, if there's something in my life that's not right, get it out. God, forgive me. God, help me to stay clear of sin. Help me, Lord, to resist temptation because, God, I don't want anything to interrupt my relationship with you. Think about that, church. We have direct access to God. Let's not let anything get in the way. Not ourself, not our pride, not our sinfulness, not anything else to get in the way of taking full advantage of that direct access to God that we have through His Son, Jesus Christ. We were once enemies. We were once separated by our sins. But now, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We have access to God. And not only that, but we have a sure standing in Jesus Christ. We have a firm and solid foundation to stand on. When the storms of life come, we have hope beyond this life, all because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse number one, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can celebrate Christmas this holiday season because He came so we could have peace with God. He came so, like the song said, we could be reinstated in His love. We can be reconciled and have that broken relationship restored completely.